G'day, welcome to SEO Success Stories. My name is Russ McCumber, and every 2 weeks we talk search engine optimization with the world's leading SEO practitioners. We interview a mix of in-house SEO leads from the world's biggest brands and SEO thought leaders, many from leading search technology brands, plus the world's foremost SEO educators. They'll all be lifting the hood on their own SEO journey, as well as sharing the tips and tricks behind how the best and brightest minds in SEO go about their trade of dominating the SERP. SEO nerds, this one's for you. Hello and welcome to another episode of SEO Success Stories. My name is Russ McCumber. You hear me in your ears through this feed every 2 weeks. I talk to the world's best SEOs. I talk to SEOs from big brands, people who've been doing it a little bit, people who've been doing it midway, and then people like Bob today. G'day, Bob.
Hey, how are you, Russ?
Hi, good. Bob Tripathi, he's been in this space for over 20 years. He's been doing this for a long time. We've met on the conference circuit. He's got a wealth of information around his own experiences within this space. So I thought it'd be so good to get him on this podcast for all the SEO nerds out there to hear about, you know, the evolution of SEO and to hear about the evolution of search from way back when to today. I will say this, I say this every episode. If you are listening to this for the first time and you like the sound of what you're hearing already, hit that subscribe button. It's going to be much easier to keep on track with all of the amazing SEOs we speak to every 2 weeks. And Bob, I have one question I ask of every SEO that we have on this program. So I hope you're ready.
I am.
What do you think is the number one biggest challenge facing SEOs in 2024?
Yes, don't get old, though, right? That's number one. But that's one. But I think the biggest thing is think beyond content, right? So content is not going to be the differentiator. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. So we're going to talk a bit. Let's just start with you, Bob, because I've mentioned normally the way we do this is I'm going to go into like a big career history, but this is really going to overlap what you're going to talk to us about today. So maybe if you could just give me a quick little snapshot of where you started, how long you've been doing it, and where you are now. And then I want to rewind and I want to go through all of the different, you know, the evolution of search, and you'll be talking lots around your own experiences in that evolution as well.
Oh, that's amazing. So thank you, Russ, first and foremost, for having me here. And yeah, I think I just tried to get your listeners, viewers, whatever you call it, in the loop by saying content should not be the differentiator because the world has changed, right? So when I started 22 years back in 2001, I started with paid search, which was the Overture, which was then bought by Yahoo and became Yahoo Overture. And, you know, they literally, after you sign up as an advertiser, they would send you like a booklet, like a brochure, about 40 pages. And then you would call them to start your ads. And this was before Google's AdWords was beta tested back in 2001, 2002. And So I started my career there. I studied marketing. I always wanted to be a marketer right from when I was 14. And, you know, I graduated right at the height of the first dot-com burst, right? And I just fell into this, right? And then one thing led to another. I started with learning HTML, web development, then paid search, you know, PPC, as we used to call it. And then I would build this beautiful e-commerce website, you know, there was no shopping cart software. So I found a friend who programming, so you would program the e-commerce website with shopping cart, which was a big back in 2000, 2001. And then the clients would ask, and these clients were mom and pop retail stores, and our promise to them was to get you into the internet day with those e-commerce site. So after that, they would ask like, okay, you build a beautiful site and we can see your ad, but how do we generate more business? And someone told me that somebody 2 hours far, he knows this thing called SEO. So I drive 2 hours away and I meet this guy, And for 4 or 5 hours, we're talking about SEO. And I'm like, you know, I'm a sponge. I'm getting all this knowledge. And essentially now going back, you know, what he was talking is how do you hide your keywords in your meta description, meta keywords, the on tag. But life takes you there because he told me there is an event going on. And it is started by this guy called Danny Sullivan in San Jose. So somehow I found some resources to, it was SES back then, the blog, their cluster. I think, yeah, SES. And then I found my way to San Jose and went to the conference. But yeah, long story back, it looks like the old underground, those days when Burning Man started, it was like that. So that's
fine. That's great.
The fortunate part is I have been in it from those days. You know, like there are so many folks that go out. But, you know, a lot of us who started those days, we always thought like the future CMOs, the future presidents and CEOs of corporations who come from the search background, right? Because we actually knew how to make the website work. And today we are at a stage where many of the folks that we started at the CEOs are actually CEOs and big CMOs and many big tech companies. I was fortunate enough to continue on my journey. Then I worked for a SaaS company back in 2005. We sold the company to a private equity company. Then I worked for Discover Card, Discover Financial Services, Sears.com. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in the industry. And here we are, you're talking SEO. So that's a good run, I would imagine. So, yeah.
That is. That's very cool. And what are you up to now, Bob? Before we dip back in time over the history of this thing, what are you up to now?
Yeah. So what I do now is, you know, life comes to a full circle. So I run an omni-channel digital marketing agency. I've been at it 5 years, few plus minus COVID years. But yeah, you work with brands and, you know, smaller companies that I act as a CMO and without, you know, things like that, but help them basically being an omni-channel marketer, whether be it search, be it ads, either email or Facebook. But yeah, same edit. And back in the day, we used to call it e-business. Now we call it digital marketing, you know, or internet marketing. Really fortunate in doing it. We do a lot of work in areas of SEO, obviously.
Cool. E-business. I haven't heard that term for a while. And you are one of the few people that predates my digital marketing stories. I often talk about paying 6 cents per click in 2004-ish on Google for Google ads. And what you mentioned before, what was it called?
Overture.
Yeah. Overture. Then yeah, I hadn't even heard that. So there we go.
That is
amazing.
That's the only reason I don't color my hair. I still leave it gray so people know I'm 23 years old.
You got that experience. Love it.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about those early days within our industry. You know, who were the big players back in the day? Let's go back into, you know, late 90s, early
90s. Yahoo was big, right? Like we started, Yahoo was big. And the fight was Yahoo. I mean, of course, there was GoTo.com, right? You know, 99, time frame, 98, time frame. But Yahoo was huge. And then Google came along. And then there was Yahoo and Google, right? And then, of course, Yahoo went the way it did. And then, of course, Google became the de facto engine. But the biggest thing that happened, like people forget, is the behavioral change. People did not go to a search engine to start their journey on the internet, as you would call it. So searching for things did not come naturally to people. You see what I mean? Like before Google, Yahoo was a directory, right? Google actually changed the behavior, how people go about doing the business. Because before that, you would know a website, for example, whatever it was, you know, like best.com, right? The biggest poster boy of the .com burst. But people would not use Google, you know? So that was a behavioral change. Then came social media. Now we are in an age where influencers like Mr. Beast and all that, they are pushing products to us, right? If you really had to sum it up, the last 20, 22 years, us as humans, our behavior on how we interact with internet, if you will, or the web, whatever, has changed a lot. So that means as marketers, what we do is we observe these patterns in the human race. And essentially, we try to be better marketers. So what before, nobody knew how to use a search engine, right? And even if you look at the terms of query, back in the day, people used to type one word, two word keywords, and then it went four word keywords or six keywords, stuff like that. And now it's so conversational, right? So the biggest challenge, as you said earlier, you asked me earlier, is like, how do we stay relevant? And this is how you stay relevant, as you see the consumer behavior of people's human race's interaction with the technology is staying, and how you can market that, you know, and that's the holy grail.
That's so interesting. Just thinking about like the evolution from Yahoo to Google, I must admit I'd even forgotten that Yahoo was a directory. When you think about it, prior to Yahoo, it's yellow pages. You know, it's directories, it's books. Then the books go online. Okay, so you've got big, long lists, and you would do a one-word search because you're searching for a plumber or you're searching for a lawyer. And then it's going to batch up a batch. And then when it gets more sophisticated, it's going to batch up a batch in your area, probably alphabetically, you know? So, yep. So that is a huge change.
Yeah, one of the first sites I really SEO'd was a watch site. And you sold, you just bought a domain name. So the domain name I bought was 001 Seiko 1. And we didn't get clusters. In 1 year, we were like one of the biggest players on the internet because nobody knew SEO, right? So yeah.
That's so funny. I think about like flicking through the old yellow pages in the 80s and the 90s, it'd be like AAA battery hire, AAA carpet cleaning, yes, you know, to get to the front there. Yeah. So interesting point around Google changing the way, like changing, flipping the whole model around to a certain way, because I don't want to jump too far ahead because I do want to talk a bit about some of the big updates and the big changes once Google became the big monopoly, the big player. But we are getting to a point now where there is, you know, a lot of people talking about a big shift in the way people search with SGE and the like. So I feel like we're coming full circle there, but let's not get there yet. Firstly, rewind back. So early to mid-noughties, what were some of the bigger changes that you saw? You know, Google AdWords launches at some point, and then what are some of the big, you know, whether they're algorithm updates or behavioral changes, platforms?
Yeah, so I think the biggest change, so fast forward 2000, you know, Google comes in, becomes a big one, right? Like the big daddy of everyone, Yahoo goes away. Bing for a second, MSN, so just, it was not, tried to fight it, then it became Bing again. In between, there was ads.com, for example. Not sure if you know, but they had 2% of the market share. But they were really nice guys, you know. But the biggest change was in 2007, according to them. So there are always just little changes, right? Algorithm update. You had Google Dan, that everybody used to go to the Google campuses. But according to me, the biggest one was in 2007, and that was the user interface change. So what happened is social media just started coming in. So you had the Google, what actually this came from ask.com. Ask.com was first one of the, which was known as AskJeeves.com. And they were the first ones to come up with an interface where they would pull in sources, not just from the websites, but from images, from videos, from press releases and social. And they had the first multi-channel, if you will, result page or the surf results page on there. And then Google took it to the next level with what they had. So 2007 was the biggest change where suddenly we SEOs became a holistic SEO because now we got to optimize not just the website, right? But the press releases, the videos, the images, and social media, like, you know, you also saw that tweets and all those things started popping in into the search pages. So that to me was one of the big changes in terms of the user interface. Because what it did is it made SEOs to think more holistically, more broadly. So before, you were just optimizing the website, working with the IT guys and so on and so forth. But now after 2007, our role broadened in the organization. So we worked with the corporate communications team. We worked with the branding team and all these different people because everybody had to optimize their content. For any time you are putting an asset out there on the internet, if you live on the web, you have to optimize it. So that was one of the biggest.
If we think about some of the big algo updates, you know, in the late noughties, early teens, Penguin and Panda and these ones.
Yeah.
What, where were you at that point? Were you agency side or were you brand side?
You know, I was brand side. And then I was, so after 2011, I used to work at Sears and, you know, manage the whole .com thing. And then I started an online ed tech company, education. And we would train people in digital marketing. So we were in the weeds. But if you really look back in the grand scheme of things, those were just algorithm updates. Those are just temporary things because Google had to stay relevant, you know, because people started building links, abusing it. Every corner of the world, people are building links, right? And it became a cottage industry. So Google had to do something. So those were the algorithm updates when you look back, right? Which keeps everyone on their toes. But if you really think what happened in 2016, 2017, is there were 2015, there was a big, the processor, the chips started getting faster and faster and more powerful. And what it did, Google had more and more computing power. And with more computing power and a new thing called machine learning was just starting to pop up, right? So if you look back in some of the most searched keywords or courses back in 2015, 2016, it was machine learning courses. After machine learning courses in 2015, 2016, what ended up happening is Google, while they were doing this, they came up with a research paper, Attention is All You Need. Attention is All You Need. And they came up with the first, in that thesis paper, the first thing called what you call it as a transform, right? A transformer is one of the neural networks architecture on how a machine learning can not just crunch numbers, but now it can go in many different directions or bidirectional. And transformers was one of the biggest changes from that research paper. And from there came BERT, which is by coding. So that was the biggest change when you look back. Other than that, you know, the brand changes and this and that. Those were just normal fluctuations. But if you think about it, like which was like a 6.5 kind of an earthquake versus 4.0 earthquake, then BERT was one of the big ones, you know.
What
BERT did, well, suddenly now new things came in into the search because, as we said, when we started, people were putting in one keyword in the search behavior, right? This is back in 2004, 2005. But now people are asking questions in the search engine. And that became PAAs of people also ask. So if there were no BERT, there would have been no PAAs, right? And so if you really plot out the behavioral change from 2002 until 2018 or whatever the time frame is, the consumer's behavior changed dramatically, right? And the search engine was able to keep up.
And that's where, like, you know, your large language models start becoming much more prevalent because we're talking about longer queries, we're talking about the overlap of queries, and we start getting intent, you know, laid into that as well. And all of a sudden, the machine, there's a lot more peril behind it, but it's actually needing to do a lot more thinking than it did previously.
Yeah, why it was able to do the thinking? Because the chips started getting better. If the chips were not started to get better, there would be no computing, right? So the computing power was able to get us into the other zone is about crunching all this data, right?
So that was Burt's. That's like 2018, 19, around there.
Yeah.
And then we've got another big change coming now. So I'd love to get your thoughts. Like, as we head into 2024, we know what everyone's talking about. We've got ChatGPT, you've got AI, we've got SGE. Tell me, what were your initial thoughts when you saw people starting to use ChatGPT as a, you know, as a search function?
Yeah.
And then how do you see, you know, where this changes the landscape? Because SGE is coming. So let's go there.
Yeah. So if I may back up, you know, like right after the bird, another thing happened is if you look at it, the search engine, which is Google, started getting smarter. But which is the biggest beneficiary of the search, which is the biggest cash cow, is Google AdWords, right? That drives the money. So if you really think about Google AdWords, they launched Performance Max. So now all the Google ad campaigns are actually run by the machines, right? So PMax was one of the biggest innovations that came out. But now you have the search engine, which is the organic search, which is, again, machine driven, you know, with the language learning model and whatnot. But then you have PMaxes, right? And then, of course, the Bard and the Gemini and stuff like that. So you could see the Google trifecta going towards that direction because the world was moving in that direction. OpenAI, which was already there, suddenly became a thing. And people think where it is going. But if you think about it, it is going back to early, mid-2005, where the war was between, not the war, but was between MSN Bing and Google. So now the same players are still there. So ChatGPT is Bing, MSN, Microsoft, whatever. And Google is still there. So now this is the whole fight, you know. Now we'll see what happens, you know, because you have two Indian guys running both the companies. So we'll see if they fight as bad as they did back in the day, like Steve Ballmer was there, or they don't with their middle bad.
Interesting.
Yes.
So what do you think about, are there any particular industries that you think, you know, are going to be impacted by the change in the way that the SERP looks?
Yeah, so the SERP looks, it has to change, right? So as I said earlier, SEO should not be focusing on content as their differentiator. If they start thinking of content as their differentiator, then it's not going to lead them anywhere. The reason for that is you have all these machines who can create content on the fly. So if anything that creates content on the fly, it's not going to be your differentiator, right? Because everybody and anybody's going to do that. So there are two factors, which is going to, and I talked about it in my presentation last month and before that, the two biggest things that's going to separate all of us in the SEO world is, of course, the EAT, right? EAT. And then the second is sentiment. So all SEOs should be thinking a lot about sentiment analysis. The reason is how your brand is being seen, right? What kind of data sources we are feeding into this large language learning models, right? And that is known as your sentiment audit or sentiment analysis, whatever you call it. And the data or whatever the rankings are going to be measured by the large language learning model. That means whatever you feed them is what it's going to give it back to you. You know, so those are the two biggest differentiators for SEO. So in 2024 something, yeah.
Yeah, and that's interesting too, just around Andy Holland, who's been a guest on this podcast, talks a lot around building brand mentions, publicity, TV advertising, these sorts of things as you know, bigger box signals that Google is really pulling in now. You know, it's not just what's on your site. It's not just hyperlinks, you know, based on anchor text, based on keywords. Like, Google's a lot more sophisticated and is looking for brand sentiment, as you say, in a range of different places. How do you think that then impacts the way, to me, I mean, it sounds pretty common sense that if SEOs aren't already like fully immersed in the whole marketing engine, because we always joke about, you know, your SEOs over in the SEO cave with their headphones on, they're in the dark and they're doing their own thing. But like hopefully we're past that point, but we really need them part of, the whole marketing engine working together. You know, because it seems pretty clear that the other, especially those big brand types elements, are going to have a bigger impact on SEO results. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. I mean, I don't think SEO was ever about hiding yourself in the room. The reason for that is SEOs were the cheerleaders in the company. So they had to go around. So when I worked at Discover, I had to actually go around like 10 different departments and get everybody on board. You know, so if nothing else, an SEO has to be a really outgoing people's person and get everyone on the same page, you know? So that's how I used to look at SEO. But as I said, like, if you look at 2007 and the changes that came, you know, where you had different kind of sources listed in your search engine results, we are in the same place right now. As I said earlier, you asked me, what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm an omni-channel marketer. And the whole buzz is omni-channel. So if you're an omni-channel marketer, your brand has to be there in different places, because that ultimately is a signal to Google or whatever large language learning model that might come in, you know? And right now, you don't know where it's going to go, right? Because Google is going to save, try to save their cash cow, which is an ad, right? But you see there's a lot of shift happening in the advertising dollars, not just on Meta, but TikTok and all those other places, you know? So yeah, it's an exciting time. But again, I think as SEOs, I would focus a lot on being omni-channel and make sure you're working collaboratively across all the folks, you know? Not just your more IT and theirs and stuff, but even the ads.
Yeah. I hear you. And that's such a good point to say that SEOs have always, the good SEOs that have been able to effectively like move things along have been cheerleaders. They've had to be, because you overlap on so many other different departments. So that's a very good point you make.
Yeah. I mean, I was an in-house SEO, right? And what I learned is, you cannot be an in-house SEO if you don't really train people and teach people and get them excited about SEO. And the only way you could do that is by not being on the desk, right? So if you're not talking to four or five different departments or different business units each day, that means something is not there. So, yeah.
Good. Bob. Awesome conversation. Thanks so much for sharing. We're going to get into our quickfire Vox Pop now.
Awesome.
So I'm going to ask you some quick questions. I just want the first thing that comes to mind. Just give it to me and then we'll move on to the next. Ready, set?
Yep.
Which previous Google algo change still keeps you up at night?
Brand update was something great. I think, yeah, that was a brand update that 8 or 9, yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, brand of it. Forget what it's from. Yeah. Doesn't keep me up at night, but that was one that kept me at night for 2 days of those days. I sleep well.
I hear you. What is your favorite non-obvious software tool that you use every day to research or execute?
Ooh. I love Notion. I use a lot of Notion.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Gun to your head, which do you prefer, content or links?
Videos.
Videos. Take it.
But I think videos is content, you know, so yeah.
What's the most effective link building technique that you've used?
Link building. Oh, I love the PR and link building. You know, like it's often, it's temporal. When a PR goes out, and you see temporal, but if you're smart, you can capitalize on it. And those are so organic links, like, you know.
Love it. Is the skyscraper technique still relevant today?
Oh. like asking and it'll ask. I don't know. Yeah. It's not original, right? No, so in the LLM world, originality will always win.
Mm-hmm. Good answer. What do you love most about SEO?
I love how... So if you think about it, I mean, this is a complicated, but what I said earlier, right? We bring everybody together. If you really think about it, then website or web interfaces, as we call it, really started coming along. After email marketing, paid search, SEO was the first one. As an SEO, you knew everything that's going on. Right? We are the true digital marketers. So if you think about that, you have a pulse on the whole digital marketing industry, right? So yeah.
It's good. How do you apply SEO principles to your daily life?
Actually, it's the other way around. Yeah, it's the other way around. So my daily principle is what? Do good things and good things will come to you, right? So I apply that to SEO. I apply that to SEO. Don't do the black hat SEO. Create good content, you know, give good experiences and people will link to you and your ranking will go higher.
Love it. That's good. Work from home life or office life or hybrid life? What's your preference?
I don't hate, but I despise work from home. I miss the office. And yeah, I'm such a people person that I think after a couple hours, my productivity goes down. So yeah, I love it all. Like,
cool. SEMrush or Ahrefs, if you had to choose one?
You know, one of my favorite tools was none of these. Was a tool, ranking tool called Atlas Web Ranking. Have you?
Okay.
Yeah, I love that tool. That is the only tool I would use in a way because the rankings are good and it would give you a competitive score with your competitors so you can plot it out with the clients or everybody in the company. And that'll be good. So, yeah.
And last one, what do you think is the best for brands using an agency? Having an in-house team or having a combination of both?
Yeah, right. I was both. And I think you go the Buddhist way, the middle path, you know, where you need an agency to execute all stuff and bring outside to you. But you also need an internal cheer, right? Who can get stuff done for you and who knows stuff. And that makes things very easy, you know. So I would be a hybrid model for this and work best.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Bob. That wraps up our Vox Pop and that wraps up our conversation. So really appreciate your time. That's been Bob Tripathi. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Nice for the chat. And yeah, just you can reach out to me. Great question. But yeah, thank you, Russ, for doing this. Thank you.
How can people reach out to you? If anyone's listening to this and they've got any more questions about anything you've spoken about, where's the best place to find
you? Use Google and type in Bath Space Tripathi, TRIPATHI, or digitalsparksmarketing.com. I'm also a great avid networker, so you can find me on LinkedIn as well. But yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you, Bob. That's been another episode of SEO Success Stories. If you've enjoyed this conversation, please do hit that subscribe button, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to us. That would be amazing. I'll be back in your ears again, SEO nerds, in 2 weeks' time with another of the world's best SEOs. Thank you. Cheers.